there's a place called Eretz Chemda, a very, very nice kollel, in Yerushalayim. It is a it's a Dayanus kollel. Probably the only, there aren't that many just pure Dayanus kollels around, but part of some broader yeshiva or program. It's one of the few Tzioni Dayanus kollelim around, and one of the many things they do is answer shilas from all over the world. This one is more of like an essay. So, but they have later on in that same volume of the book a shilas from New York about this. A lot of shilas from New York about this. So they have shilas from all over the world. People email them shilas. They answer them back. It's not such a big kiddush nowadays. I think when they started it, they were one of the early adopters in terms of answering shilas over emails. So it was a big deal, especially for rabbis from India and China and, Brazil and places without, big yeshivas there. Rabbi Mann, who teaches there at night, is one of the big rabbanim there, and answers, Veba Rebbe Shilas, which make him the Torah tidbits, which makes them famous. Anyway, that's the Eretz Chem. That's a great kollel, good to know about. I wanted, maybe instead of just repeating to you what you read here, take it from a slightly different angle and bring up some halacha lemaisa shailas, either that I've personally received or that I've seen asked recently. A Shunabet kid, this is going to be a more complicated shaila, but a Shunabet kid came over to me and said he had a whole internet business selling phone unlock codes. You know what unlock codes are? Mm-hmm. Okay. And he didn't know if he was allowed to keep his website up on Shabbos or not. So these are shailas probably you're much more likely to get from Shunabet kids than from 60-year-old Balabatim, but eventually that'll change. So let's just look at some of these shailas and see what different halachic issues involve. The most obvious one is let's forget about the economy yet. Let's forget about Israel, business, etc. Let's talk about the balabas, a regular consumer, right? Someone in this room, right? I don't know, maybe. That's China Bet kid. Maybe we all have internet businesses. Okay. Yeah, me who don't have an internet business, raise your hand. No, it's okay. What about for the consumer? So are there any issues with e-commerce on Shabbos for the regular, from Balabas? So obviously we're not surfing the internet. Obviously we're not surfing the internet on Shabbos. So the two issues that come up for e-commerce on... I think there are very few things that are usher else e-commerce on Shabbos or the Balabas. The two shilas that come up is one I've gotten is usually when you buy things, you buy them, right? So if you're not on the internet on Shabbos, you're not buying on Shabbos. The one question that could come up is what if I buy something and it's Shabbos where the website is located? Like in Israel, it's Matzah Shabbos, and I'm buying something from Amazon.com. Amazon.com is in America. Whatever extent you can say that Amazon.com is in America. I have no idea where the actual servers are or anything. Every guy who actually answers the phone from any company who says, "Hi, my name is Fred," is actually in India, and his name's not Fred. That's the whole time zone issue, and this is very similar. If I buy something that it's Shabbos where the company's located, maybe even where the actual servers are located, that's very similar to the shaila of, can I send a fax to someone on Matzah Shabbos in Israel or Friday afternoon in America if the fax is going to be printed on Shabbos where I'm calling? Or can I send, email to a country where, a server, where the server is going to register it on Shabbos in that country, or leave a message on someone's answering machine? Can I call, Saturday night and leave a message on my parents' answering machine that they may or may not happen to hear if the answering machine talks out loud, on Shabbos, etc. So in general, in these things, we paskin that it's the same as the Shabbos clock, right? I'm not doing anything on Shabbos. I'm doing something on a weekday. The malacha might that I'm causing might end up happening on Shabbos, but that's similar to setting a Shabbos clock on Friday afternoon to turn something on Shabbos. Okay, kayadua. Rav Schechter has a very unique shittas yachid in these issues, and he thinks we should be very nizar, not to set Shabbos clocks or send faxes, etc., make malacha happen on Shabbos. Rav Moshe Feinstein also leaned that way in the beginning of Shabbos clocks, but the minhag olam is clearly not that way, and the established halacha psuka is that Shabbos is, this is what the Achronim answered to the Mikra Yosef's question. Famous Mikra Yosef in Bava Kamma asked if we paskin Isha Mishum Chitzav, if I light a fire, everything that fire causes is considered as if I did directly. It says, how can I light Shabbos candles? Every second it burns as if I did it, so I lit it on Shabbos. So, he gives a different answer. All the Achronim say no. On Shabbos, it doesn't matter what actually happens. It matters whether I did Malacha or not. It's a din in the guf. It's a chi of gavra, you would say in Lamedish terminology. So as long as I did my Malacha on Chol and I didn't do Malacha on Shabbos, it doesn't actually matter where the Malacha happens. And that's established Halacha L'maisa. Minaga Olam is that you can leave a message in someone's answering machine if it's Shabbos where you're calling. Obviously, you can't call someone not from the Shabbos where you're calling, then they'll pick up. That's Lifnei Iver. But you can leave a message on a from person's answering machine. You can send a fax. Even if it'll get there on Shabbos, you can send an email to a from person, or to a guy. Even if it'll get to them on Shabbos. And likewise, there should be no problem buying something on Amazon, even though where the Amazon servers are located, or wherever that store is located, it's Shabbos, because for me it's not Shabbos. The other shaila that comes up for a consumer is, what about eBay? What if the auction ends on Shabbos, right? L'chora, I'm sure some psychologist could tell you exactly when each auction ends based on all these cheshbonos as the psychologist figure out how long to make your auction and when it should end so you'll get the highest bid. But probably more or less a seventh of the auctions end on Shabbos, right? By just very, very gross basic assumptions and statistics. A seventh of the auctions end on Shabbos. So what if I want to bid on something and the auction ends on Shabbos? Particularly, right, anyone who knows what they're doing on eBay, you snipe the bid. So the snipe, mamish, comes in. Everyone know what sniping is?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
What? No. If you actually put your bid in, let's say something's closing in 3 days. I actually put my bid in now. I want to spend $56 on it. So the even though it's a proxy bid, and it's only going to bid 56 when it gets to it, there'll be some other idiot like me, and we'll both put in our 56 and drive each other up right now, so that right now, 3 days before, it'll be bid up to 56. By the time it comes around, we'll have lost it. Sniping means you go to another website, and that charges you like some very small amount of money, and it hides your bid from eBay entirely, and 3 seconds before it ends, it logs in for you and snipes the bid. And that way, you don't drive up bidding beforehand, and you get a better price. Right? That's really logically, there's no justification for bidding the regular way on eBay. It's just losing money. So, certainly, if you snipe the bid on Shabbos, right, you're having this computer put in the bid for you, Dafka on Shabbos at the last minute. So is there a problem with winning an auction on Shabbos? Or even potentially with losing an auction on Shabbos? So here we have two shilohs. Number one, the malacha. The malacha should also be no problem. You're not doing anything on Shabbos. You're not doing, and no one's doing anything on Shabbos. It's not like there's some guy sitting there doing work for you on Shabbos. Right? It's all automated. It's just a fancy Shabbos clock. So you're allowed to have a fancy Shabbos clock. So there should be no problem actually putting in the bid. Winning the bid is a more interesting question, because here we get to the famous din of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the chiddush. Calling it a chiddush, that doesn't mean that it's like a crazy sheet that they came up with. It actually is very strong rayas in both directions from Shas. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who had this famous chiddush in the Shut Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Kof Nun Tes, that there's an Isser Drabanan of Mecha Chumemkar on Shabbos. Everyone knows an Isser Mecha Chumemkar on Shabbos. Right? To put it in a more Lundish way, perhaps, you could ask, is the Isser the Maisa Mecha Chumemkar? Or is the Isser the Totsah of Mecha Chumemkar? Right? Rabbi Akiva Eiger doesn't, he's not interested in Brisker terminology necessarily. That's how you would put it in Brisker terminology. Say, is the Isser to do an action of business on Shabbos, like buying and selling? Or is the Isser to have a result of business done for you on Shabbos? You could see it either way. On the one hand, most things in Shabbos, the Isser is to do a certain action, right? Most things on Shabbos, the Isser is to do a certain action because, you know, Shabbos is all about doing or not doing action. Shabbos, more so than almost anything else in Halacha, is about Shvisas HaGuf, as the Achronim write, is really about what you do and don't do, and much less about the results that happen. And like, we don't care what happens to the world on Shabbos, we care that I rest. On the other hand, Rav Schefter has a big article about this, I think in his first Sefer. On the other hand, it's when it comes to certain gezeros that are usher, because they might lead to something else. So you might say, no, even the totsah, if the result happens on Shabbos, even if I don't do anything, that might lead to something else. Like, for example, when it comes to Shehi and Chazara, the Chazon Ish, and most Achronim write, right? I'm not going to leave something on the stove on Shabbos or put something back on the stove on Shabbos if it's not covered with a blech, etc. Because I might turn up the flame, or stoke the coals in the old days. So the issur isn't putting the thing on the stove. The issur is the result of having it there. Because if it's there, I might turn up the flame. If it's not there, I won't turn up the flame. I don't care it got there. Chazanish and most are right. I don't care if a monkey, you know, put the pot on the stove. If it's my pot and it's there on the stove, I might be tempted to turn up the flame, so it's usur. So you could have the same chakir about mekach u'memkar. It doesn't necessarily matter when I do the action of mekach u'memkar. It matters when the result happens. If the result of a kinyan happens on Shabbos, then it might lead to, why is mekach u'memkar usur? There's a gzera atu kosev, ultimately. Okay, there's lots to talk about based on the famous Ramban about Shabbaton and Pshuta Shal Mikra in Nehemiah, that it could just be a general non-Shabbistic kind of thing to have business going on at Shabbos against the spirit of Shabbos. But the Gemara seems to nonetheless narrow it down in a technical halachic sense. So Gzeira Atu Kosev, you might end up writing. So you could say that even if I don't do anything on Shabbos, if the business happens on Shabbos, then the Gzeira might apply. It might end up leading to a non-Shabbistic kind of atmosphere where people end up writing. So that's where Rabbi Akiva Eger's discussion. He has an old-fashioned discussion. This is before the internet, before everything. Can I sell you something now on the condition that the sale is chal on Shabbos? There's such a concept, the Gemara Kiddushin, the Bava Metzia discusses, mechir la'achar lamed. I can sell something now and specify that it only take effect later. So, can I do a kinyan to specify that it'll take effect on Shabbos? So in those cases, Rabbi Kiva Eger's Taka Machmir, the Maram Shek and other Achronim are Mekel. So you could get into a problem. If I win an auction, I put in a bid and win the auction on Shabbos, I might not be doing anything on Shabbos, but isn't the Mekach u'Memkar happening on Shabbos? The Kinyan is happening on Shabbos. That might be a problem according to Rabbi Kiva Eger.
Why is the Xerim from Kosev apply there, though, if you can't go on the internet to check if you won?
Right, so it could be you can't check if you won, meaning you're really much less shaykh to it. Unless you just want to say, objectively, the Xerah applies in a low plug anytime you have a result of Mekach u'Memkar. So here, someone actually wrote a very nice article about it very recently in Eretz Yisrael. A lawyer in Eretz Yisrael wrote a very nice article in the most recent issue of Tchumen. Tchumen is a very... Anyone ever heard of the journal Tchumen? Yeah, it's a very nice journal. It's like, you know, the RJJ Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society? So imagine that in Hebrew, like 10 times as big. That is what comes out every year. It's a journal in Israel which deals with all kinds of issues about the Medina, about everything in contemporary halacha. So, made a ha'ara that when you actually win an auction on eBay, could be even when you actually buy something, when you win an auction on eBay, certainly, you're not actually doing any kinyan. I assume everyone here has bought and sold on eBay. The kinyan only comes afterwards when someone actually logs in and does something, right? The kinyan, you know, it's a very fascinating legal question. Exactly when does the kinyan chal? But just winning the auction creates some obligation to purchase, but it is but it's more of a moral obligation that you can't actually. I mean, if you read the fine print, they can't actually do anything to you if you back out of your decision to buy something or sell something on eBay. They can blacklist you and kick you off eBay, right? There's like moral sanctions, right? They can think you're a bad eBayer, but it has very little legal validity. It has very little legal validity. No one really thinks that it's a legally binding kinyan to buy something on eBay. So lemaisa, if I win an auction on Shabbos, all I've done is I've agreed to buy something, and agreed to buy something even in a not so clearly binding way. So obviously I wouldn't do that on Shabbos. You wouldn't talk business on Shabbos, but it seems pretty clear that even if you machmir like Rabbi Kiva Eger, that it's usher to have a chalos kinyan on Shabbos, that's only if it's a full chalos kinyan. If it's just some sort of vague agreement and winning an auction, which is not a full chalos kinyan, then lechora Rabbi Kiva Eger wouldn't be machmir. Because it's not, you haven't done anything, and even the result, you haven't really achieved the result of a kinyan. You've just had some sort of agreement, some sort of discussion. So lechora, there's no problem for a consumer to win an auction on Shabbos. So whenever I get shilas from regular balabatim, those are fairly easy. There's really not much of an isser in terms of internet commerce on Shabbos, because as long as I'm not going to hit Shabbos, which of course I'm not, then it doesn't matter where the servers are located, because the time zone should go by me for my malacha. And even if I put in a bid, to be sniped or to just a regular bid to win the auction on Shabbos, that's not a real kinyan. So even Rabbi Akiva Eger Mestama would be Mekel.
And what if the situation was that for some reason there was cloud?
Right, so that's a more interesting question. What if the technology advances, right? Now, right now, I haven't bought anything on eBay in the last few months, but it's really just, it's like they call it binding, but it's not really so legally binding. Maybe it's enforceable, maybe it's not. Lamaise, it's not enforced. What if they would upgrade eBay, right? It's a very simple thing to do and say, no, when you put in a bid, you put in your credit card number, and if you win the bid, it's automatic. They should really do this now, right? It makes a lot of sense. When you put in the bid, you should put in your credit card number, your PayPal login, etc. And as soon as you win the bid, the purchase actually goes through, and you make the kinyan, and you pay for it on your credit card, etc. So then one could see that being a little more chummer. But even then, it's not really so. Even then, it's not really so pashut that a. Even then, lechora, the maybe the guy could still back out of sending you the thing. It's unclear in different states what the law is. If he could back in Israel, he could still back out of sending you the thing.
A lot of American companies have heard that a lot of companies will put like deals on their websites. When you actually go through, they'll tell you a week later that the deal won't.
Right now, I've bought things on the web, and you know they email me back 2 weeks later saying, "Sorry, the item is out of stock." Right. And like, okay, first of all, that's like shady of you. And second of all, if you're going to be shady, like, why didn't you tell me 2 days later, you know, so I can buy someplace else meanwhile? But you're right. So it could be that even in that case, you know, you might not, although eBay is probably supposed to be a little more organized or something. But it could be even in that case, you know, you could definitely find room to be Mekel, because again, it's not so clear if he was right in the first place. Even if he is right, you're not necessarily making a, you're not making a classic Kinyan, because you don't actually have a Kenyan on the Metalton yet. You don't actually have a Kenyan on the Metalton yet. I'm pretty sure in American law, just I pay with a credit card doesn't mean I have an actual Kenyan on the Metalton. It just means that, you know, they have to make a good faith effort to send it to me or something. And, you know, I haven't really, I don't know that I've given them a Kenyan on the money yet. I mean, the money probably doesn't change hands until the next day when they bank the Visa or MasterCard process it. So I think in any case, it would still be Yeshmakam Lahakal there.
In terms of the credit card, you're not paying the credit card until about a month later when you're taking credit on the card.
Visa or MasterCard is crediting them on your behalf. So Midin Arev, if someone pays on my behalf, that might definitely count.
In the case of Rabbi Akiva Eger, though, you know before Shabbos you're going to make that Kenyan. Whereas on eBay, just because you make the snipe doesn't mean you're going to, you don't necessarily know you're going to
right, absolutely not. Although you're sort of, Your goal, your sort of Melech Machshava's goal is to have it happen. So it might be just as bad. It's not like Dovah Shani was coming, might happen. Your kavanah is to make the Kinyan on Shabbos. So that's a little for the consumer. Now, let's take it to the other side. Let's go to this Shana Bet guy who came to me with the Shaila of his, much more serious Shaila. What about a business website that I own the business? Can I stay open on Shabbos or not? That is a very serious shaila for two reasons. This is not only a shaila in the website. If I was the chief rabbi of Israel in the 70s, I would have gotten the shaila. In the 70s, there was no internet. If I was the chief rabbi of Israel in the 70s, I would have, the actual chief rabbi did, gotten the shaila from the only, best of my knowledge, the only from bank in the world. That's the only from bank in the world. Thank religious Zionist. Mizrahi, Bank Mizrahi. Bank Mizrahi is from Mizrahi. I by this point, probably Bank Mizrahi is owned by, you know, stockholders. I don't think it's owned by, you know, Tnuat Mizrahi, Tnuat Datit Tzionit anymore. But it's a from bank. So when they invented ATMs, they asked the chief rabbi, the Shaila, right? So as a religious Zionist bank, they asked the chief rabbi. They asked the chief rabbi, the Shaila, can we leave our ATMs open on Shabbos? You know, and in this sort of in this global economy, it's a big shaila. At one time, you know, everyone was open. You know, whatever, you were open your sort of personal hours. Everyone was open some sort of normal hours. So whatever. So the Jews open 6 days a week from Sunday to Friday, and the Christians open 6 days a week from Monday to Saturday, and I guess the Muslims open when you know from Saturday to Thursday. Nowadays, this global economy, everyone says to stay competitive, we need to be 24/7. I mean, it's also a shaila with stores. You know, it's very hard to have a store that's Shomer Shabbos if your competition is not Shomer Shabbos. And certainly on the internet, when everyone expects everything to be 24/7, or you know, ATMs, etc., where the expectation is 24/7, if you're not 24/7, you're going to lose business. It's going to be hard to compete. So the question is, what is the chiyuv if you run a business over the internet? So I don't know if you had a chance to read this very, very nice article from, I mean, all the facts are true. I have no idea what this particular blog or whatever it is. But about B&H Photo. I don't know if anyone's heard of B&H Photo. It's a Satmar Hasidim. And B&H Photo is not like a little, like, mom and pop store. B&H Photo is one of the biggest electronics stores in America, especially if you're talking about photography. You know, like not like I buy like whatever digital cameras on sale today, but people actually buy like serious photographic equipment. They are, I think, like the top, if not one of the top nationwide stores in America. And their business, their website does millions of dollars of business. B&H Photo. And B&H Photo, if you log on to their website, now, truth is I could from here, but I've never tried to log on to the website on Shabbos, although I guess I could from here Saturday night. I would see Shabbos on their website. When you log on to the website on Shabbos, it says, I logged on a Sunday once, and I found hours of operation. It said, hours of operation, our store is open, our customer service is only open till 1 o'clock Fridays, and then Sunday through Thursday. And then at the bottom it says, we do not accept internet orders on weekends, you know, Friday night and Saturday. And there's a little link. You click it and it tells you when Shabbos starts and ends for the next few weeks, when they'll be processing orders or not. And on Shabbos, you actually cannot buy anything on the website. You can browse all you want, but you can't buy anything on the website. At the top here it says, welcome to B&H Photo. We are temporarily not accepting orders. Online ordering will resume at 9:30 p.m. Saturday. I guess this must have been the middle of the summer. Or something, or, you know, some brisker kind of Rebbeinu Tam. I guess during the summer, even a regular Rebbeinu Tam, they are Satmar Hasidim, right? So even a regular Rebbeinu Tam would get you to 9:30. You don't have to be brisker. And they actually sew the screen here. On Sunday, it says check out now. And on Saturday, there's no such button. There's actually no way to buy anything from the B&H Photo website on Shabbos. And this guy wrote, he said, well, you know, I had to do a little research on the internet to find out what this Saturday thing was, even after I heard they were Jewish. But then I realized the Shabbat, and you're not supposed to do business. And he basically said, you know, kol hakavod to someone whose principles are above making money, even though the one who wrote this is probably not Jewish, unfortunately, in our door. If someone wrote kol hakavod to someone for being from, that's probably a guy. And he wonders if there's anyone else in the world who does this. I don't know if there's anyone else in the world who does this. And it's definitely, look, it's tremendous Kiddush Hashem that they really close, not only do they close their store on Shabbos, you know, which is, you know, more understandable, they even close the website on Shabbos. The question is, are B&H Photo right? Are they too machmir? Or are they too makel, based on what they do? And I think all these three possibilities are definitely possible. We'll try to come to maybe Samach or Lamaisa, but more importantly, to understand sort of the svaras and the issues behind the three possibilities. What do I mean by are they right, are they too makel, or are they too machmir? So, number one, maybe they're exactly right. They should not be doing business on Shabbos, right? On the other hand, maybe they're too machmir. Maybe it's fine for them to take their orders on Shabbos. Or why would they be being too makel? Because there are two basic, totally different halachic angles when you're looking at the issue of e-commerce on Shabbos. One is me, the guy asking the shayla, right? Me, the guy, can I do business on my website on Shabbos? The other shayla is, how about the person logging onto my website if he's Jewish? How about lifnei iver for people logging onto my website? Can I give them a website to log onto on Shabbos? And the main nafgamina between these two shaylas is that if the isser is for me to do business on Shabbos, then when is Shabbos? The isser is my doing business. Shabbos is my Shabbos. That's what B&H Photo does. They go buy, you know, New York Shabbos kinds. If the isser is lifnei iver, because I don't want some Jew to come to my website on Shabbos, then when is Shabbos? It's his Shabbos, right? If the isser is lifnei iver, it's the customer's Shabbos that's important, because I don't want to make the customer do an aver. It has nothing to do with my Shabbos. And as a matter of fact, just the second non-Torah page here, there is a company called SaturdayGuard.com, makes your website Shabbat keeping. This all sounds better in Hebrew. You know, Shabbat keeping. But But Saturday Guard is a program. It's very cheap. It's like $140 a year, which is basically it's a nonprofit. They just cover their expenses. They sell you a program that will shut your website down whenever it's Shabbos for the guy surfing to your website. Right? We all know that you can tell where someone's located by their IP address, right? The line 99.9%, they say, if you know someone's IP, we don't usually look at IP addresses, but every like location, like even the websites, has some number that's called an IP address. That means something to the computers of the world. And if you look at that IP address, you can tell where someone's located. That's how some websites can tell what country you're coming from. Unless you use one of these fancy, schmancy, shiesty, you know, proxy IP faking sites to get around it. But let's assume that your average person won't do that. So it checks the IP address of the guys. It actually, the IP address for the physical computer that he's using. That's how the FBI tracks you down if you do things, by your IP address, which is one of the many reasons not to do crimes on the internet, besides the more obvious one, which is that you shouldn't do crimes off the internet either, but you should never do crimes on the internet because they can track down your IP address. There is no anonymity if they really want to find you. And, of course, if you're doing a crime, you shouldn't use your cell phone, meanwhile, because they have records of all your calls and exactly what tower you're closest to. So, okay, but in any case, we shouldn't do crimes. Lu Yetzir, we had to, no internet, and don't use your cell phone. Okay, that's like the biggest mistake everyone makes nowadays. But back to the IP address. So this program, it's a Gevaldik program, it checks the IP address of the guy surfing, and if it's and it's hooked up to Shabbos calendars, like the calendar of when Shabbos is in every country in the world, and if it's Shabbos, like first it figures out what time zone he's in, then it figures out when sunrise and sunset and Seisuk Chavim are in his location. And if it's Shabbos by him, it says this website is temporarily down, and it tells him when Shabbos will be over by him that he can come back on. And this is mostly used by non-business sites. Like it's mostly used by from non-business sites. Like there's a whole discussion in the Kira world whether to use this or not. You know, is it worth topping someone for Kira even if it is Shabbos? Because maybe you'll do a car with him or not. But it's used by like, you know, from dating sites and other things that like there's no reason anyone should be there on Shabbos and it's just an Aveira and why should they let someone do an Aveira or just general Haredi news sites, etc. Where there's no one wants anyone there on Shabbos anyway, so it's a great. The question is, does B&H Photo have to use this? Right, if you have a website, is it enough to shut down for your Shabbos? Or maybe no, maybe you should be wearing Lifnei Iver, you should be shutting down for the other guy's Shabbos, which is totally possible now. For $10 a month, you can, or $12 a month, you can shut down whenever it's Shabbos for the guy who is surfing. So, let's look a little at these issues. So, the first issue, again, we always have to discuss two issues when we're discussing the web. Number one, is it Aveira for you to run your business? Number two, is it Lifnei Iver for you to open it for other Jews to come on Shabbos? And the big nafmina is, do you have to close down on your Shabbos or do you have to close down on the customer Shabbos? So in terms of the Isser for you, B&H Photo is clearly worried about the Isser for you. Why would it be Usser for me? Why would it be Usser for me to have my website open on Shabbos? So why would it be Usser for me to have my website open on Shabbos? What are some possibilities? So one is... Mekach u'memkar. Maybe it should be an Isser of Mekach u'memkar for me to leave my website open on Shabbos, because after all, not like B&H Photo is the same, they don't do any Mekach u'memkar, right? But if I leave my regular website open on Shabbos, maybe it should be an Isser of Mekach u'memkar. And here is, now I haven't been able, or I haven't really tried actually, I haven't even tried to contact B&H or their posek and figure out exactly what their logic is. But als Mekach u'memkar, it doesn't seem to me that this should be also mitam mekach u'memkar. I mean, maybe you've seen some of the makoros. For the simple reason that, A, it's only it depends on the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Maharam Sheik. I'm not doing anything on Shabbos. It's just happening by itself, right? Some guy is doing it on Shabbos. And this was the issue dealt with by the poskim in terms of vending machines, right? Before the internet. Can I leave a candy machine on Shabbos? If a Jew has a candy machine company, I'm sure many Jews do. Can I leave the candy machine on Shabbos? Someone might buy candy for me. But here, of course, it's much more makel than the candy machine shilas. Because if I'm B&H Photo and someone buys something for me on Shabbos, or if I'm Amazon.com, I mean, I don't know what Amazon.com does, but if I'm Rabbi Bednarsh's, you know, skiequipment.com, right, and people buy ski equipment for me on my website on Shabbos, I'm not really selling anything on Shabbos. I'm just taking orders on Shabbos. I don't have to charge the credit card on Shabbos. I don't have to ship anything on Shabbos. Everyone knows when you order something from a website, it doesn't get processed immediately. It gets like processed in their computer immediately, and they send you like an acknowledgement of your order. But they don't actually take your money and send you the thing immediately. On all the most reputable websites, actually, when do they charge your credit card? Only when they ship, right? A reputable website, like, you know, a gold standard website, will only charge your credit card when it's shipped. And obviously, there's no expectation that you'll ship immediately. When people are in a hurry, they check to see how fast you ship. So any website could just say, we don't ship on weekends. Well, many websites don't ship on weekends. That's not a big deal. So B&H Photo, no one would expect them to ship on weekends. Most websites, if I'm selling something, no one expects me to ship on weekends. So I don't ship on weekends. I don't have to charge the credit card on weekends. What am I doing? I'm just taking down your order. Basically, it's like I'm leaving out a piece of paper for someone to come and write their order down on. That's not Mekuch Memkar. That's just, meaning if I was talking about it with them, that might be Dabra Dabra or something. But if I just like, it's like leaving an answering machine on or leaving a pad of paper and a pen and someone can write down their order. That's not usher on Shabbos. So Mekuch Memkar definitely should not be a problem because I'm not actually selling anything on Shabbos.
What's the actual moment, precise moment of Mekuch Memkar? Is it the transfer of money or is it signing your name that you're, guaranteeing?
So that is that is actually an excellent question. The truth is in law, I didn't want to get into so much detail, but there's two different stages of Mekuch Memkar. In halacha, there's some discussion of this in terms of Eschaivos versus Mechira. There's actually transferring the ownership of the metaltolin to you. I know in Israel, if I buy something with a credit card on the internet, I don't actually kona the item until they ship it. Until they ship it, I'm not kona the item. However, it does create a hischaivus for them to give me the item right away. Question is that hischaivus called Mekuch Memkar not? Is a very big deal in the Achronim. Is if I agree to give you something, is that called Mekuch Memkar or not? Lich Orem, one would think that there's room to be Mekel if I'm not actually doing anything on Shabbos, it's just happening automatically, and I'm not actually giving you something, it's just a schayev to give you something, then Lich Orem, there should be room to be Mekel. Where this gets trickier is, what if there are websites that sell Dover Sheish Bo Mamashes? What about a website that sells a Dover She'ein Bo Mamash? What about a website that sells something on the spot? Well, how do you sell something on the spot? You sell something electronic. Like, for example, you know, I sell software. Great example. I sell software. I sell, stupid little things that people use in online reality games that they actually pay money for some peculiar reason. I sell software. I sell unlock codes for phones, I sell information. I sell some sort of valuable information. So what if I sell something immediately? That gets a little trickier in terms of Mecca, Chumemkar, and Shabbos. If I have a website that sells you things, that sells you things immediately, then actually I'm selling you something on Shabbos. I'm like selling you this software on Shabbos and taking your money on Shabbos. And you expect it immediately, right? If you want a software download, you want the software download now. And those things, like, people usually aren't prepared to wait. So if B&H was selling software, would that be a Mekuch Memkar problem? So this is still not so pashut, because that gets into the whole question of, intellectual property, etc. in halacha. I'm not actually selling you anything, right? I'm not actually selling you anything. There's no chetza. I'm just sort of, I don't know what I'm selling. I'm selling you a license. It's not so clear in halacha what a license means. I'm taking your money. I don't have to take your money till the next day, right? I don't have to take your money today. I can arrange my website to take your money the next day. As a matter of fact, in most web commerce, I don't get your money right away. It takes a while till I actually get the money. So there is some sort of service being provided and maybe even some sort of license being transferred, but it's not so posh that's Mekuch Memkar. So if we're talking about, a Yesh Bo Mamish, then it really seems like it should be no problem. Even if we're talking about something that's Ein Lo Mamish, there's definitely Yesh, a lot of Makom Lahakel, because, its weakness is its strength. Yes, I'm doing it right now because it's not actually a thing, but if it's not actually a thing, then maybe it's not Bechlal Mekuch Memkar. Maybe it's not called Mecca Chumemker on Shabbos. It might be more similar to providing a service for you on Shabbos, which we will get to in a moment.
Buying a song, that's not a license.
Buying a song is a Buying, let's say, songs, right? That's what you'll sell nowadays. If I sell songs on Shabbos, so I'm not actually selling you, I'm not giving you anything, right?
I'm not giving you a license either. I'm giving you a song. Then why isn't giving you a song?
No, but I think legally, I think what I'm giving you is a license, not a song, right? Meaning the song doesn't exist, even legally. Like, I'm not giving you a physical thing. It's not like I go to the store. Right? There used to be stores that sold, like, records and then tapes and then CDs. Are there still stores that sell CDs?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. There used to be something called Tower Records, which sold CDs. To the best of my knowledge, it never sold any CDs that I was so interested in buying. But let's assume whatever, okay, you know, Tower of David Records, you know, partners with Galpaz, and sells the latest Shweki CD. And I really, really want that V'isha Amda, right? Yesh Al Harbei Mokum Ladun, as to whether or not V'isha Amda is Shweki's greatest hit ever. And if so, whether that's connected to the fact that someone else wrote it. But that's not for now. I have my suspicions on both counts. But back to our topic. So if I'm selling, then I'm actually selling you a CD. Here I'm merely selling you a license. Now this gets into the whole issue of intellectual property and halacha. Am I actually selling you something? Is there actually a kinyan? Is there actually a kinyan in such a place? You know, am I actually selling you the license? Or is the person who produced the record actually selling you the license? And I'm merely an agent legally. So, yesh harbe ladun al zeh, definitely one could find makom lahakel.
The same thing, let's say I'm using like a gift card, or I'm losing the money from that gift card right away.
Let's say you're using a gift card and you're losing the money from the gift card right away. That's an interesting point. Although, of course, then you're not actually transferring them money. They're just taking it off the money they owe you anyway, so that might dafka could be more mako. Right? If I pay you in advance and I'm just taking off the money I owe you anyway, that might dafka could be a tzad lahakel, not a tzad lahachmer. So that's Mekach u'Memkar. Mekach u'Memkar certainly for most things is not an issue. And not all websites charge money every time you visit anyway. Some websites just charge an annual fee or something like that. And then for sure, you know, you could always, you know, say, okay, you could buy your annual membership now. Meaning, you know, you might have to add something, even to make clear, if I was B&H Photo and I want to sell on Shabbos, I would say, you know, I'd put the thing. Orders are not processed till after the weekend or something like that. Even annual membership, you could say annual membership is not processed till the next weekday. Your temporary, you know, here's your temporary code. You know, so I wouldn't necessarily have to get into Mecca Chumemkar.
A lot of issues with the internet is they sell ads. So the more people that go on it, they sell ads.
Okay, excellent. So let's get to another issue. This issue is probably going to be a little more chumer. What about Schar Shabbos? There's an issue called Schar Shabbos. What does Schar Shabbos mean? Minimally, it means I'm not allowed to work on Shabbos. Now, I know that is not always, if you look around, that doesn't always seem to be fully honored, or, you know, as they say in some places, honored in the breach. But we're not allowed to work on Shabbos. Those heterim that exists are either very sketchy heterim or under very limited circumstances. However, of course, what's the, right? Everyone here go to shul once in a while, right? You have a rabbi there, right? The rabbi works on Shabbos. So that's not a sketchy heter. Why is the rabbi allowed to work on Shabbos in five letters? What? No, being paid for your time on Shabbos is usher.
Havla.
Havla, right? There's a concept of havla. Havla means literally swallowed up, right? It means if it's part of a bigger time period. The rabbi is allowed to get paid for Shabbos because even though he obviously has to work on Shabbos, he can't say I'm only working Sunday through Friday, but he gets an annual salary. He doesn't get paid specifically for Shabbos. So Schar Shabbos is mutter if you don't get paid specifically for Shabbos. Like, for example, if I hire someone and I say, you want to be a waiter? Come with me to the hotel this weekend and be a waiter the whole weekend, which includes Friday afternoon, includes Saturday night, and there's a price for the weekend. I pay you $100 a weekend. That's Havla. That's mutter. If I tell him, come work for me and I'll pay you $10 an hour, then that's usher, because some of those hours aren't Shabbos. That's a general rule of Havla. I can't pay you by the hour or by the day that includes Shabbos, but I can pay you something more general. We'll have to see some of the limits of that. Now, yeah.
So let's say like a Bar Kore,
So a Balkore is a fascinating question. Is a Balkore allowed to charge for laning on Shabbos or not? So there are two attainments for a Balkore. One is that for a mitzvah they were making on Star Shabbos, if necessary, even though it's really not supposed so good. And we passing, you still might not see a Siman Bracha. Still might not be a Kedai thing for you spiritually, metaphysically. But Yesh Makal Hagel for a mitzvah. The other big cooler for the Balkore is that some Balkores, you know, certainly the younger ones, when I was in high school, I used to spend all week preparing the laning. So really, you're not just paying for laning on Shabbos. You're paying him for, right, if he only came on Shabbos and didn't prepare, you wouldn't pay him. If he only prepared and didn't come on Shabbos, you wouldn't pay him. You're paying him for preparing and coming on Shabbos. Therefore, it's havla, and that's the normal heter for Balkoris. What about a very experienced Balkori who doesn't have to chazer anymore? So then it should be usher. Taka to get paid. Unless you want to use the heter of mitzvah, but, you know, for a ben Torah, it's not so pasha that that's a great heter.
What about a mashkiach that only works on Shabbat?
So what about a mashkiach that only works on Shabbat? So with the mashkiach that only works in Shabbat, again, if it's the havlah, that's one thing. If it's only a Shabbos mashkiach, that's the heter of mitzvah. So we're allowed to do it for mitzvah, but it's not so clear that the Mishnah Berurah seems to say, Eino rosim and bracha, that like you won't really make anything of that money. You won't really get anything from that money, perhaps.
Would there be a chiluk if like, there's like a usual mashkiach, and then like he can't make it one Shabbat, and he asks you to
fill in for him.
To fill in for him for Shabbat.
Yeah, I mean, look, for a mitzvah, we're mekel, because you need to have people do mitzvah, so what can you do? For a mitzvah, we're mekel, but it's...
How's that a mitzvah?
It's a mitzvah to make sure the food's kosher. Otherwise, the food would be treif. But as you see, it could be a little iffy, because who says that food is a mitzvah in the first place? So, in all these things, for a mitzvah, it's mutter, meaning medina, it's mutter. The question is whether it's a good thing or not is a little less clear. Anyway, let's get back to Schar Shabbos. In Schar Shabbos, here, we're not talking about you working on Shabbos. I don't work on Shabbos. But we paskin very clearly, Schar Shabbos applies to my property also. I can't rent you things for Shabbos, except by Havla. There are from rental car companies in Israel that will charge during the week, they'll charge by the day. Over the weekend, they'll charge for the weekend, but not separately for Shabbos and Sunday, or Shabbos and Friday, because they don't want to charge for Shabbos, but it's okay by Havla. So Schar Shabbos applies even to my property. I can't even make money off my property on Shabbos. Now here you see the potential for a problem with Schar Shabbos. If I make money off my property on Shabbos, then is that a problem that I'm earning Schar Shabbos? So here also, if what I'm doing is selling, you know, Dover Sheish Bo Mamish, then of course that's no problem. Like if I'm B&H Photo and I'm actually selling physical things, like real things that actually exist, then of course it's no problem with Schar Shabbos. Because you're not paying me for browsing my website on Shabbos or for taking the order on Shabbos. You're paying me for the item. Shabbos was just, you know, that's not even havlah. I'm like, oh, you're paying me for using my website together with the item. No, you're only paying me for the camera. So of course that's not Schar Shabbos. That just happens to be on Shabbos. You put in the order for Schar camera. But what if I have a website which provides services, Ainbo Mamish, right? What if my website provides services, provides entertainment, or provides you know, information, etc. So then it gets a little tricky because it might be a chash of Schar Shabbos because I'm making money off, you know, off using my website on Shabbos. So here it might again depend. If you have a subscription to my website, then that's not Schar Shabbos, that's Havla. If I sell annual subscriptions or, you know, or your monthly subscriptions, that's not Schar Shabbos. So what if I charge you, every time you use my website, I charge you for an unlock code. That's Schar Shabbos. I'm making money on Shabbos off my website. I charge you for a song download. That should be at least Schar Shabbos. My website's making money for me on Shabbos or Google Ads, right? One of the ways that no one makes a lot of money, but a lot of people make a little money nowadays, is with Google ads on my desktop. So website, if I put Google ads on my website, I get paid, I think, per click, probably. Right, I get paid per click. So I'm making money off my website on Shabbos, right? I'm getting paid. If I'm getting paid per click, then I'm getting paid specifically. Then I'm getting paid specifically for Shabbos on my website. So that could potentially be a serious problem of Schar Shabbos. Again, I'm not sure this explains B&H, but if we're talking about ads or services, downloads, etc., then it could really be a problem. L'chora downloads is okay. Why? Because this is the famous kul of the Note of Yehuda. The Note of Yehuda says, if I sell you something, but I like make a profit on it, that's considered havlah. Like, let's say I buy oranges, you know, wholesale, and I sell them, you know, I buy ices, right, in the big box in the supermarket. I sell them outside, you know, outside a baseball field or something. So that is, not that I should actually sell them at Shabbos, that's considered havlah. In the download, you're not just paying me for using my site, you're paying me because I have to pay Somi for the download, or, you know, Galpas for the download, or whoever. So that's havlah, because you're not just paying me for the service of giving you the download, you're also paying me for paying the producer for the download. But if I'm giving you a service that I invented on my own, I have something that I provide, even unlock codes. In unlock codes, that's havlah. You're not paying me for the work of my website. You're also paying me for the fact that I have to pay, you know, someone else to, well, if I do, for the fact that I might have to pay someone else to give the download code. But for many things like services or Google ads, etc., that seems like it should be a big problem of Schar Shabbos. Yesh Mekilim, some people want to say it's not Schar Shabbos if I'm not personally involved, but that's a big chiddush, because if I, you know, every time I rent my horse to a guy and I charge him for Shabbos, classically that was Schar Shabbos. So the only cool is some people want to say, since I didn't specifically intend it to be on Shabbos, that's not Schar Shabbos. Schar Shabbos only if I specifically rented it to you for Shabbos. If I said whenever someone clicks on an ad, I make 10 cents, that's not Schar Shabbos. That's also, it's very unclear. This really could be a problem with Schar Shabbos, depending on what you're doing. If you're making money off ads, or if you're making money off providing services, that could really be a problem of Schar Shabbos. Although that doesn't explain B&H Photo. I think what explains B&H Photo is, there are two more issues. When do I actually have to end? One. Okay.
12:10.
Okay, beautiful. All right. So I'll just quickly run over some of the other issues. I think this is probably what lies behind B&H, is the sort of general issue of Maris Ayin or Zilusa de Shabbos. Right? In one of the tshuvas in this packet, right? Hopefully you'll go home and you'll be able to, I'm sure everyone didn't get through everything, B'Iyun yet. The Minchas Yitzchak says, when he was talking at candy machines, he says, I was matter people to leave their candy machines open on Shabbos, but, he says, but if you have a laundromat, like with your name on it, like your chain, you know, Schwartz's laundromat, I'm not matter for you to leave that open on Shabbos, he says, because even though, I mean, he takes from a different angle, it might not be Schar Shabbos to open your laundromat on Shabbos. But if someone puts in a quarter, you could use the kula. This is the Shmir Shabbos. Chassai Zirik here has a kula. He has a great, he quotes from Shlomo Zalman, a big kula on Schar Shabbos. Anytime I have to lay out money besides just letting you use my stuff, that's called havlah, because you're paying me for use of my stuff and for the fact that I had to lay out cash. So that's havlah, it's mutter. So he says, for example, you're allowed, you know, the zoo is allowed to charge admission on Shabbos. Without getting the issue of how they actually collect the admission, let's say. But he says, you're allowed to pay admission to the zoo on Shabbos. That's not Schar Shabbos. Assuming you don't actually pay, whatever. Because, besides the fact that they're charging you for use of the animals, looking at the animals, they're also charging you for cleaning up after you and for opening the gates, or maybe not for opening the gates, for cleaning up after you after Shabbos. They're for cleaning up the zoo for you before Shabbos. And therefore, that's what a lot of hotels use this heter. They're allowed to charge for Shabbos in the hotel, because they're also charging for making the beds before Shabbos or cleaning up after Shabbos, just one second. On the laundromats, you might say it's not Schar Shabbos, because you're not just charging for using your washing machines, you're charging for the water and you're charging for electricity and all these other things, and it's all one price of 8 quarters together with the washing machine, so it's Bahavlah. The rent for the washing machine for Shabbos is Bahavlah. You're also paying the water company. Right, you're just paying the bill to the water company and the bill to the, you know, electric company. But he says, also, because if your name is on it, it's Maris Ayin. The Gemara says if a Jew has Greenbaum's bathhouse, or I don't know, days of the Gemara, Abaye's bathhouse, then you can't even rent it to a guy for Shabbos, because it looks like you're running your business on Shabbos. So it could be a Maris Ayin. It looks like you're running business on Shabbos. Some Arkonim are also bringing Zulus to the Shabbos. It's disrespectful to Shabbos to have a Jewish place going on Shabbos. My guess is that's what B&H Photo are worried about. It doesn't look right. Right? In Maris Ayin, to have a Jewish place running on Shabbos just doesn't look right. However, this is very unclear. A lot of people point out in this article also that doesn't seem to be comparable. Yeah, if people are doing melacha in a store on Shabbos and it's Schwartz's, you know, warehouse, then that's the elusive Shabbos and Maris Ayin. The whole point of a website is that no one's doing melacha. The guy that is surfing is going to your website, but your website isn't doing anything. It's just sitting there doing nothing, right? It's totally passive. No one's doing any melacha. So it's very not pashut. It's a big chiddush to say there's a problem with Maris Ayin having your website open on Shabbos. L'chor, that's what B&H Photo are worried about, especially since some of the Hasidish posts can say that. They're worried about Maris Ayin, Zilzal of Shabbos, if we leave our website open on Shabbos. But it could be they're being too machmir on that. It's not so pashut, because what's the Maris Ayin? It looks like someone's doing malacha? No, it doesn't. Everyone knows on the internet that there are no people. It says there's no live customer service on Saturday. So everyone knows no one's doing malacha. It's just a computer. And I don't even know what the Zilzal of Shabbos is. Everyone gets onto this website. When I log on to Amazon.com, I don't think any person is sitting there working in an office. The person might be out sailing his yacht, right? I'm just talking to his computer. So when I log to B&H Photo, I don't think the shoppers are working on Shabbos. It's just they left their website open for orders. So it's yesh machmirim because of this, but it's a big stretch because I'll be pashtus if the Jews' business isn't doing any melacha, is just sitting there passively, then why does it look like Chilul Shabbos?
Is it different than the washing machine case?
In the washing machine's case, no. That's why the Minchas Yitzchak is machmir the washing machines is probably the basis of B&H Photo. But that's a big chiddush. It's not clear why you should be machmir the washing machines. Because Schwartz isn't there. And even by the washing machines, might be a little worse. Because Mistama, it looks like Schwartz is on the premises if it's open. But in the website, it should be even more makeable than the washing machines. Why would anyone think that, you know, B&H are at in Manhattan just because their website's open? B&H might be out golfing if they're a bunch of wasps, or might be singing Zmiros at a Shabbos table at the Rebbe's Tish if they're Satmar Hasidim. So that's very unclear. I think that's the basis of B&H, but it could be being too machmir. I mean, it's a big Kiddush Hashem, but this is of course the question, how do you weigh a big Kiddush Hashem and being extra machmir against trying to make it in the modern world? Apparently it works for B&H because they still make lots of money even though they're machmir, so maybe there's something to it.
It could be a fear that people are not necessarily go to the intricacies of halacha and they'll think that it's okay to do business on Shabbos because they see that this company does.
Could be, but still, you know, that's, you know, if someone's parnasa depended on it, that's a hard svara to ask or something because of. Although, again, B&H Photo will say we had bitachon and it worked. So I think this is one of the interesting issues, which is sometimes there aren't such strong halachic issues, but should you stand up for Shabbos anyway and make the Kiddush Hashem and just stand up for your values, or compromise a little where there's room halachically in order to make a parnas in the competitive world? Okay, I only have 2 more minutes, so I want to point out why I actually answered this Shutterbeck guy's unlock code site, which is something that no one discusses in these issues, but actually comes up in a lot of halakha l'maisa cases, which is it's not so pushy that everything's automated. A lot of websites need people working. What do I mean, people working? So how does this website sell an unlock code? Well, you go onto the website, you pay $20, and get your unlock code for your phone. How does the website know the unlock code, right? It doesn't have Ruach HaKodesh. It pays $15 to another website to get the unlock code and sells it to you for $20. Now, I'll be classic economics, I'm not sure how this business model makes any sense, because the way they taught us in Economics 101 in college, everyone should just find the $15 guy themselves. But apparently, that's the way to make money. Buy something for $15 and sell it for $20. What's the problem, of course? How does I supply instantly this unlock code within 2 hours to my customer for $20? How? So I pay $15 to some guy in India to get the code for me. Okay, that means I'm telling the guy in India to work on Shabbos. Right? That's Amir La'akum. Right? That's Amir La'akum. The question is, go by India Shabbos or does it go by my Shabbos? It's a big hakira. But either way, that's Amir La'akum in many sites. I might not have anyone working there, but I'm calling on people to do work for me at the time. Like a lot of people, you know, license out, they farm out their customer service. So yeah, someone's answering the phone for me in India when my website's open on Shabbos, and you have to pay attention to that. So regardless of what you're going to be matir, you can't be matir if you actually need a human being to work there, even if that human being is not Jewish. because that's Amir Lahakob. So you have to be careful. And some business models, like the unlock codes, don't work without human beings. You know, many unlock codes need a human being to get them. So that's something you have to be careful. And that was why the unlock code business just didn't work out on Shabbos. What did he have to do? He had to change his website so that he provided instant unlock codes all week long. And on weekends, he provided unlock codes within 48 hours. So that way, meaning he would try to do it within 24 as soon as Shabbos ended. But that would buy himself a little leeway, and that way he wouldn't have to actually do anything on Shabbos. That's another thing you have to look out for. Okay, leave one comment, and then we'll go on to the second half of this year.
For the online codes, you don't have like a database of codes that you send out once they ask you for
it. Apparently, that's not how it worked there. Again, I don't know. I'm not a bucky. I just know this one particular actual real-life Shiloh that happened with a real-life 19-year-old, and he had to have some guy in India provide the unlock codes and then pass them on to the customer, making a $5 profit on the way. Now, of course, the other side of the coin is this is some of the halachic issues that go into me as the business owner. What about lifnei iver of the people logging onto my website? So what about this is me, which is a matter of my time zone, and this is why B&H, I assume it's for reason three, closed down in their time zone. What about the customer in his time zone? Right? What the Shabbos guard is trying to take care of. What about the fact the customer is being mechallel Shabbos? That's one thing that's clear. Some guys going to my website on Shabbos, he is clearly mechallel Shabbos, right? No one's allowed to use the internet on Shabbos. There's, you know, no kulas for that. So some guy is clearly the isser going onto my website on Shabbos. So is this a problem with lifnei iver or not? So of course, and B&H Photo isn't worried about lifnei iver, right? Maybe they're too makel. Maybe they should have worried about lifnei iver and closed it on the customer Shabbos as well as their Shabbos, or instead of their Shabbos or whichever. So is this lifnei iver or not? So this gets on to two very, very significant questions. One question is, and I'll just mention some of the questions because we don't have time to go into them, I apologize, is who is the customer? Jew or Goy? Who is going to be the customer on this site? If the site is intended for Jews, such as an ATM in Israel, we have to assume most of the people are Jews, or a Hebrew website, right, you have to assume that in a Hebrew website, right, like in Israel. E-commerce in Israel is much more chumer than e-commerce in America because you have to assume your customers are Jewish. Now, I know some of the people who speak Hebrew and are part of Israeli society are not Jewish, but most of them are Jewish, right? You can't sort of escape it. You can't say, oh, maybe they're Goyish. No, the stam person in Israel is Jewish by all definitions of the word. So, there's 7 million people and 5 million of them are halakhically Jewish or something like that. That's a pretty strong rove. If you're B&H Photo in America, why are they not worried about lifnei iver? Maybe because they figure the stam person coming to our website is a guy, and therefore I don't have to worry about lifnei iver. This is very unclear. Do you have to worry about lifnei iver? If you just set something up for goyim to come and Jews might also come. So a lot of people are makil that if it's mainly intended for goyim, you don't have to lose money by losing your goyish clients just to prevent Jews from coming. But for the Beit Mizrahi ATMs, Rav Gorin said, it's also to have your ATMs work on Shabbos. Because who lives in Israel? Jews live in Israel. And that's lifnei iver. He might have monitored Citibank ATMs. Those are for goyim in America. But the other big issue is, of course, what's the first question you have to ask in every case of lifnei iver?
Are you the only one?
Exactly. Are you the only one, right? That's called trei ovrei denara, meaning you're the only option. It's a little, trei goes with only and chad goes with another one. It's a little confusing because trei ovrei denara means the guy needs you to get something from the other side of the river. You're the only one who can give it to him. Or it's one side of the river, meaning the guy can get it himself, meaning he has other options. Now, when it comes to the internet, in most cases, right, that's the beauty of the internet, in most cases you're not the only game in town, right? B&H Photo might be the cheapest game in town, but if B&H Photo is closed, I would just buy it at the second cheapest place, right? Clearly, anything B&H Photo sells, someone else also sells. This is not a case of trei ovrei denara. This trei ovrei denara we paskin is lifnei iver midaoraisa. We generally assume, although some Rambam argues on this, that this is an iser of misayeya leovrei avera midirabanan. So, since almost everything on the internet is chad v'tanara, that means there is makom to talk about being makel. It's still an ishtar rabbanan, but in one moment we'll mention some of this. If you're providing something unique, like let's say a Bank Mizrahi ATM, where I live in Alon Shvat, the Bank Mizrahi ATM is actually closed on Shabbos, but it's the only ATM in the area. So that would be Lifnei Iver D'Oraisa if it was open. It's the only place to get money in the area. I think it might still be much of a to leave it open alone because no one's going to go to it anyway, because like no one would ever be seen to be Mechal Shabbos anyway in the middle of a from town. But theoretically, if you're the only ATM in town, that would be a problem. If you're the only website that does something in town, you're the only website that sells something in town, that would be a problem. But in almost all cases, all ATMs, there's another ATM across the street, right? Bank Mizrahi ATM, there's usually a bank discount or bank Lumi ATM across the street, and websites, there's always someone else on the web doing the same thing as you. As a matter of fact, if you don't realize that, you're probably not going to be in business on the web for very long, because they need to catch up to you and swallow you. But if it's chad v'r denara, then the question becomes, then you get into the question of, what about, of course, what kind of people go to websites, what kind of Jews go to websites on Shabbos, generally? Only non-frum Jews. Is there an iser of Mesael de Avera for non from Jews? That is the first page of Makoros I had. The Shach is Mekil. That there is no iser for a non from Jew if it's Chad over Denara. Meaning, if you have another option and he's not from, then there's no iser. Most Achronim are machmir and says the iser still applies. And then the question really becomes, and this is a very tricky thing, I'll be pashtus, we're normally machmir. Someone told me once they heard of Shech being makel based on the Shach. That's very iffy. I'll be pashtus, we're normally machmir based on this, that if, even if someone's not from, and even if they have another option, we still don't want to lifnei iver and allow someone to be Mechal Shabbos because of us. So lifnei iver is a very, very serious issue, specifically in Israel. Israeli e-commerce, I think, is much more covered than American e-commerce because of the issue of lifnei iver. There are kulas. Maybe you've seen some of lifnei iver. Maybe it's, it must be el day over iver. Maybe it's not el day over iver if I'm not doing anything immediately, if I'm not physically helping him, if I'm just in the, basically, if I'm not doing physical action to help him, yesh makilim, you can tsarif that with the shach, you can tsarif that with the fact that I also want my Goyish customers to come, so I'm not specifically intended to help my Jewish customers. Yesh makom to kvetch at a kula here, but it's not so pashut. In America, it's much more pashut to kvetch at a kula on the lifnei iver, which is probably why B&H photo wasn't so machmir. In Israel, it's very hard to kvetch at. It's not pashut at all. It's hard to kvetch at a kula on the lifnei iver. And here the question becomes, not should I like invent chumras to hold up, you know, the glory of Shabbos, but should I kvetch at a kula just for what? Just to let non-from Israeli Jews be Mechal Shabbos and I make money off it? Why do I want to make money off non-from Israeli Jews be Mechal Shabbos? So the question always is, because if they can't do it on Shabbos, they won't come through during the week either, which apparently B&H manages. But these are big questions for business nowadays. You know, how much does that make a difference in our 24/7 world? Do I say I'm going to lose my customer if he doesn't come on Shabbos, so I should be Mekel? Do I say no, I should try to keep halacha the best possible way and be machber and have bitachon that if I keep Shabbos, Hashem will help me anyway? Or there's always in-betweens. What do they do in Europe in such cases? People sold the business to a guy on Shabbos. Now again, if it's something like Bank Mizrahi, thank God, I don't know. It might be hard legally to figure out how to sell it to a guy. If you have a little business, there is such thing as, I'll sell it to a guy on Shabbos and let the guy make all the money from Shabbos. Because I don't want to make money from Shabbos. I don't want any lefever on Shabbos. I just don't want to lose my customers during the week. But even that's not so posh, because even if I sell it to a guy, you know, I'm causing the guy to do lifnei iver. Very, very not posh. There's a lot to think about, but I already went well over my time. So I hope that you'll be able to think about this more, tie it into some of the other things we discuss, and these issues probably come up in everyone's life. You're all in college now. You're all going to start an internet business sometime before you graduate. So welcome, everyone. And it was nice to see everyone, or to meet those who I met, or even just see the faces of those who I didn't yet. And enjoy the trip to Alon Shvat. And send regards to my son.
Thank you so much, Benersh. We're going to take a 5-minute break now, and we're going to come back up here for some lunch. So go to the bathroom, get some fresh air. We're going to have lunch up here in a few minutes, so come back quickly.
Is there an issue with the designer?
So or maybe what e-commerce website?
You know, if I make a e-commerce website,
let's say for a non-religious Jew.
For a non-religious Jew, and he's
going to do business on Shabbos,
and he is going to have it up 7 days a week. Ah, that's a good question. I'm designing a website for a non-religious Jew who's going to put the website up 7 days a week.
Yeah, my first year in
And let's see, maybe even if his customers aren't Jewish, he's Jewish. So, I think I'd be making on this, because for him to have the website up, it's haka, depending on what he's doing, but for many things, it's not so poshut. So there's what to be summoned on. So if you're just doing, it's not like a guy who's logging into the internet, there's nothing to be summoned on. If a guy's sitting at his computer on Shabbos, that's just
what's
poshut.
The issue involved on the internet?
What's the issue involved in? Well, there's no particular issue using the internet on Shabbos any more than using
your computer
without the internet on Shabbos. But the issue of using computers is not just the electricity. I mean, the electricity is only like probably only a smaller part of it. But Kosev is the big problem. Because number one, the screen is probably not Kosev Daraisa, but it's Kosev Lechor, it's Kosev Darabanan. Lechor, the screen is Kosev Darabanan. And Mistama, the disk is also Kosev. I mean, the hard disk is also Kosev Darabanan.
Well,
if.
Magnetic.
What?
Magnetic.
So that's a big question.
Even a screen. A screen is also magnetic.
I would have thought that
the screen is magnetic.
I might have thought the disk was even Kosev Midoraisa. So this question came up before this with tape recorders or
magnetic
vinyl record recorders. So if I record information magnetically, some people want to say that's the Kosev Midoraisa. Most people say it's Kosev Darabanan because it's not the normal Darabanan. But I am storing information. Now, if I actually burn a disk, like in the old days with records or with CDs, then Rosh Shlomo Zalman's Macher, that might be boneh. So I've actually turned it into something useful. I've turned raw material into something useful. That's permanent. But if I don't permanently burn a disk, it could be even if it's not permanent. If I have a blank DVD RW and I burn it the first time, I think Rosh Shlomo Zalman would say that's boneh doraisa. So I'm making it into a useful kli. Although it's not so pashut.
Is it true that they claim that it could never be completely formatted?
No, that's...
Anyway, so Lechora, it's a co-save on the Drabanan level. Lechora's electricity, which we normally assume is an Issa Drabanan. And Mistama, it's also Mimtso Heftzecha. Because, depending on what I do on the internet, but if I'm doing business on the internet...
Using a computer per se, there wouldn't be...
If I'm using a computer for business purposes on the internet, like buying something or even... looking for something, even shopping, even if I don't buy, lechor that from Sochefzcha. Now, of course, I'm not technically doing dibur.
What's that? Why is that? That's usher.
That's a pasuk in Yeshaya, which is usher. No, Sochefzcha is a pasuk in Yeshaya that it's usher to even talk about. Sochefzcha v'davar davar, it's usher to talk about business or do matzim that involve you in business. Now, you could say technically there never goes on the internet. There only goes on Masha al Tum. Like, for example, I can't go to the edge of Tum Shabbos right before three stars come out so that I can go to my business after Shabbos. That is of Sochefzcha. I can't talk about business on Shabbos. Lechora, common sense. If I'm shopping, something on the internet, that's just as bad, and should be an Isra Midabrei Sofer. So it could be kind of Isra Daraisa using the internet on Shabbos, but Stama, it is an Isra. I think we consider an Isra Borer Midrabanan. We wouldn't even consider a Shas Isra Midrabanan. I think we consider an Isra Borer.
It should be co-save for the disk and for the screen, even though it's not.
So you could say, now the screen is not permanent, and it's not Derek Ksiva anyways. But temporary Ksiva is Kosev, and the question is, what's Derek Ksiva? You know, nowadays that's a very Derek Ksiva. Although you could say that, no, that's not the Derek Ksiva.
Even nowadays it's still not considered writing. No one calls that writing. People call that, I mean, that's the form of communication, but it's not necessarily considered writing per se.
But since I always save it on the disk anyway, I think you assume that it's Kosev Darabanan. If it was up to me, I would say the disc is Kosev Daraisa, but it's not up to me. Most of the big posts are saying it's Asur Midoraisa. So I think we have to assume it's Asur. Not to mention, we assume using all electricity is Asur. Right? So definitely using
whatever
electricity.
That is, right?
Meaning, and it's not even like some people say, if something's on anyway and you're not making it use or turn on or off, then maybe that's not Asur. Yeah, every time you're
doing something,
I'm turning something on and something off and turning the disc on and that. You know, if something starts whirring, it stops whirring. So I don't think you can even have a tzad l'hak and say, maybe it's not really usher for them to use the computer, it's just a chumra v'yalma. I don't think you can say that. I think you have to assume that it's an isser bar. unlike what Moshe says when he says about the hearing aids and the microphones, right? He's a tshuva asking microphones on Shabbos, and someone asks, why are hearing aids mutter? Says, oh, well, it's not really an Isser Barer, you know, so therefore, you know, that's an interesting new halakhic category. Isser is not Barer. It's a shash. But I think when it comes to the computers, that is an Isser Barer. I think that's what you have to say. So there's no, and people are,
even if it's
a big problem with Shlomo Gorin. Rav Gorin was, if anyone knows anything about Israeli history, he was the most Megill Jew ever alive in this country. Unless you count Chaim Hirschenson, who got kicked out. who is, I don't know if you ever heard of Chaim Hirschenson. They say from Malki Bakodesh, he's the darling of the right-wing conservatives and the left-wing Orthodox nowadays. You know, sort of YCT and right-wing JTS. Because he was like a real, like, Lomade, who wrote real Sfarim with like Gemara Rishonim and everything, but said things like you're allowed to work on Shabbos and other non-Orthodox kind of things. I mean, some of the things he said are not so radical, just like he said women could vote. But some of the things I think, like if all he had said is that women could vote, then I think he'd be a little more mainstream, you know, or whatever, that women could, whatever, you know. Once he says you could go to work on Shabbos, which in America at that time was a big thing, you know, it was a big thing, but I think that. But other than him, he got kicked out by the Haredim here. But Rav Shulman was so mega, and he asked the Mizrahi Bank for opening the ATMs on Shabbos. And then after they sold it, the new guy owner tried to ask the new Rav Rashi to get a tour. As a big shayla, are you allowed to ask your shayla again if it's the same shayla but a new owner? Right, because if I have a company and I ask Rav Gorin, I can't say, elections, new chief rabbi, I'm asking again. No, that's like called shopping around.
Right.
But if I'm a new owner, maybe I'm allowed to shop around. After all, I never asked the shayla. So that was a big deal in the postgame at the time. In the 90s, it was Rabbi Lau. Rabbi Lau in the 90s, right? I don't know. I don't know what Rabbi Lau answered in the end. That's a big lift in the air. This is the question with the airlines, especially, right?